Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problems that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. For today's broadcast, I'd like to share with you some things from the Old Testament feasts and apply the significance and meaning of them to our lives today. Let's look at the Passover, first of all. That was a feast that was instituted by the Lord Himself and required that a lamb be offered, and all the Israelites either possessed a lamb or were to purchase one. Following that feast of the Passover, the very next day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread was instituted. On the first occasion of the Passover, when a sacrifice was formally appointed by God, it was required that the sacrifice was to be absolutely without blemish of any kind. The Paschal Lamb offering was to be without defect of any kind, and this typified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who is holy, blameless, and undefiled, a Lamb without spot. The Paschal Lamb was to be eaten that Passover night. It was to be roast with fire, and was to be eaten with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 13 and 15 say, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And then in verse 15, God says, "7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel." Verse 17 says, "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this very same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." So what do we see? The Passover lamb was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the blood of this Passover lamb had to be applied by the Israelites on the two side posts and on the upper door of their homes, the posts of their houses, and there could be no exceptions. If they were to survive the death angel who was going to go through Egypt, they had to obey the word of the Lord. And then, when they ate the flesh of the lamb, they were to eat unleavened bread with bitter herbs. As the eating of the flesh of the Passover lamb typified feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ, so the command to put leaven out of their houses typifies every sinner coming to Jesus Christ and putting out of their lives, if you will, out of their houses, out of their, you know, the temple not made with hands, our physical bodies, out of who we are, the leaven of sin. The putting of leaven out of their houses signified the putting away of all corruption and every defilement out of their lives. So, in a similar way, everyone who comes to Christ must put out of their lives all of the leaven. And if you recall, I won't take the time to read. They were very precise. The instructions were very specific. They were to sweep and go through all the corners of the house to make sure there was no leaven. So they were not to just clear out some of the leaven, but all of it. So let's look at this glorious ordinance again. First, they were to eat of the flesh of the Passover lamb. They were to do this along with the eating of the unleavened bread with bitter herbs. And I'd like to use this illustration. The lamb represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The unleavened bread represents the Word of God. And of course, the Word is Jesus. He was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. The bitter herbs, if you will, represent our repentance as we come to the Lord in complete faith in His written word, confessing our sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul states in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 8, and this is a New Testament reference to these feasts, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What is truth? Thy word, O Lord, is truth." Just as God was preparing to deliver His people from bondage, He was ready to bring them out of the land of Egypt. What a momentous time that must have been. Can you imagine, after those 400 years of slavery, of generations, that's all they had ever known. Think of what those words meant to them. The possibility of being free from Egyptian bondage, from slavery. It was something perhaps more than they could contain. And just as God was bringing His people out of bondage then, He is bringing us out of bondage. Beloved, as we receive Jesus into our lives, our spirit is born again. We are set free from the kingdom of darkness. We're translated out of that kingdom and brought into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. But also, there is a continuing, ongoing deliverance, if you will, in the realm of our soul. If you will, our mind needs to get saved. Our emotions need to be sanctified. And that's a process that occurs as we walk daily with the Lord, as we feed on Him, as we feed on that living bread and drink those living waters. God is bringing His people out of bondage. He's bringing you and me into a liberty of the fullness of the sonship of the children of God. What a beautiful picture this is of what God has for us. And we're seeing people taking the word of God just as God said it, just as it is. And there, beloved, are multitudes of church members today. Unfortunately, they've not been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many that have, belong to a church and they equate that with salvation, but they've never had a personal experience with Christ. They simply joined the church. They're good church members, but they've never repented of their sins nor openly professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, I think back to the experience that Dad Hagen had before he was saved. He was a good young man. He was going to church, and he was very, very ill, and he was actually on a deathbed, and the Lord gave him an experience where he was actually going to hell, and he cried out to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I'm go to church. I'm a good church person." And he came to the revelation and the realization that he did not have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, God spared him that. He spared his life, raised him up for a very long and fruitful ministry, but demonstrated at an early age the importance of being born again, of having a personal experience with the Lord. So continuing on, going back to this chapter, we see the death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Every one of the Egyptians' firstborn, whether of the human race or of the animals, they died. And then we see the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt and their journey to Sinai. Let me share that verse with you. verse 37 says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children." The following verse says, 38, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and the flocks and herds, even very much cattle." So we read in the word, there was also a mixed multitude who went with the children of Israel out of Egypt. And according to Schofield, that mixed multitude is similar to the unconverted church members of our present age, who were a source of weakness and division then, just as they are now, because they are walking in natural thinking. They're the carnal man. They're those that just have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And brothers and sisters, there are many today of the mixed multitude type. They're working night and day to rob God's people of the power of His word. And also, if you remember in the wanderings in the wilderness, it was the mixed multitude who were the source of discontent, of murmuring, of complaining. They started, and then the children of Israel took up their words, and they identified themselves. And so they were a source of division and a source of weakness. And this mixed multitude, if you will, are not just of the Antichrist spirit nor the atheists of the world, but multitudes of them are even in leadership. They could be pastors or seminary teachers or DDs and PhDs. They teach a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And they're not lazy. They don't sleep. They're active in the ranks of the church world. They have not been able to grasp, take hold of, or experience the power of God's spirit in His fullness. And so they teach church ordinances and rely on the abilities of and the natural thinking processes of man to bring a gospel, but not the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, my time is coming to a close, and I'm going to stop here, and I pray that you'll be able to be with us tomorrow at this same time. But I'd like to take a moment to invite you to become a part of UCM Spiritual Family. If you have prayer needs, if there's some needs in your life and you don't have anyone that you're really able or comfortable to share those needs with, the Lord has raised this ministry up for over four decades to be a partner of prayer with God's people. So I invite you to write. Share those needs. I'll pray personally for you, and then send back whatever the Lord would give, which I know will be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. The announcer will give you our mailing address. If you'd like a cassette tape, request our current offer. I'll be happy to put it in the mail to you free of charge. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and financial help. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.